Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
Now, repentance is not necessarily some big public apology on television. Repentance is just changing your mind. The word repentance comes from the Greek words metanoia or metanuos, which means meta is change, nuos is your mind. Well, I'd like to give him a piece of my mind. The Lord says, is that the mind of Christ? No. Repentance can happen again and again quietly, just simply as you say, I'm just going to change my mind.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message entitled, Jesus, Pure and Simple, where we learned that Christianity doesn't have to be as complicated as we make it out to be. We just need to get back to the basics, loving Jesus, obedience to Him, and today we'll learn repentance. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Jesus, Pure and Simple.
Now watch this. If I say, I know what the flesh says, and I know what the truth is. Okay, watch this carefully. I'm going to go and do what the truth is saying. Now watch. It's like walking through a veil, and I leave a little bit of the old Wayne behind, and I'm transformed a little bit more into the person God wants me to be. And then I'll come to another choice, flesh or spirit. It's not easy. Whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, I will listen to the voice of the Lord. Makes it a lot more simple, a lot simpler. So I just say, I'm going to go this way. Whew. A little bit more of me, the old me, is left behind, and I'm transformed. And every act of obedience will transform you just little by little by little. Every act brings transformation. Every act of obedience. In fact, would you write it in your notes? Transformation comes with each act of obedience. Transformation comes. Or another way to put it, and it's up on the board here, every act of obedience produces what? Transformation. I'm going to speak the truth. And whoo, He will increase and I will decrease just a little bit. That's what John 3:30 says. Let's read it together. Go. He must increase, but I must... And I go through that veil, and I'm a little more like Jesus. And before me is the glory of God. And if I keep my eyes fixed on Him, I am changed from glory to glory into His image. But if I go towards the flesh, I will be changed from glory to glory into its image. Am I still saved? Probably. But I live like the flesh. And even though you're a Christian, nobody wants to be around you. Well, I just tell everybody the truth. No, you're not. You're telling everybody your flesh, and you're saying it's the truth. It's not the truth. The truth becomes only true in obedience. And every time you go through obedience, you become more like Him, less like the old you. And He transforms you from glory to glory into His image. That's exactly what this next scripture means. Would you read it with me? Go. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. That's how it is. Every act of obedience changes you just a little bit more into His image. I step through this, and that old Wayne dies, and a little bit more of his likeness appears. And that's why John the Baptist said, He must increase, I must decrease. Some of us have been excusing ourselves to do something over here. Say, well, nobody knows, or well, God forgives. Well, God, well, He does. God still loves you, God still forgives, but you will become a fleshly man and a fleshly woman. And all that God has for you will be put on hold. And you'll have a complicated life. It will be a struggle for you till the day you die. Because you're moving the wrong way. Well, I'm still saved. Yep. You'll have eternity, but you won't have the here and now. You'll have eternity in glory, but you'll have here in gory. It'll be a tough life. But Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Jesus didn't come to complicate the gospel. He came to simplify it. And obedience precedes simplicity. Love makes all the rules simple. Following him because I love him doesn't take away the right turns and left turns, but it makes it a breeze. It's a breeze because I'm walking with him. You understand? And then obedience makes everything simple as I change from glory to glory. His name was King Saul. At the end, he kind of went sideways. But do you know, in the beginning, he really wanted to serve God. And in fact, there was a day where God said to King Saul, this is your assignment. I want you to hang out with the prophets. And Saul said, okay, I'll do that. And God says, because of your heart to obey, here's my promise. My promise is this, and we'll read it in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. Would you read it? Go. The Spirit of God will come mightily upon you. Here it is. And you will be changed into another man. Isn't that great? God says, I will transform you because of obedience. And you'll be another man. And you'll be on your way to the way I designed you to be. Let me show you how it kind of goes, though, on the board here. Before we come to the Lord, we have sort of like my plans, my goals, my family. It's my money. It's my freedom. It's my time. It's my wants. It's my everything. And I just can't get it together. And so I just want all these pieces to come together because I'm just discombobulated. So I go to some seminars on how to organize my life. And they don't help too much because actually they say, well, you need to do this. You need to do that. And it's not with Christ, but you need to change this and change that. And then my marriage goes upside down. My morals go upside down. My desires spin. My goals become their goals because they needed to make money off of me. And they use bait to get me in. And everything starts to go topsy-turvy. So I come back home and I say, no, I still need to get my stuff together. So we get our pieces sort of in order, but it's still disjointed. And then I come to church and I say, Jesus, I need you to help me. The only problem is we're saying, Jesus, help me to get my puzzle pieces together so that you can be a rabbit's foot to me. And you need to exist to serve me. So it's still my goals. What's the common word in all of the puzzle pieces? My goals. It's my time. It's my plans. It's my desires. And Jesus is saying, no. You need to give me your life. Because if you hold on to it and you're saying, I want to go my way, bless me, I won't. Because you're going away from the design that I have for you. So this is how I'm going to bless you. If you read in Acts chapter 2, it says this. It says, God sent Jesus, his servant, to bless you by turning each one of you from your wicked ways. In a way, God says, I'm going to bless you. The way I'm going to bless you is I'm going to turn you back to me so that you realize that it's not your time and your money, but it's mine. It's his, not mine. And then God says, I'll give this back to you, Wayne. Now steward it. Steward it and obey. Just do exactly what I ask you to. And you know what? You'll walk into everything I've planned for you, everything I've designed for you, and it will make life so simple. And so we say, you know, that's what I want to do. And here's what I did. I came, brought all the pieces of my life to Jesus. And when Jesus came into my life, he took over, and then he shook me, and he changed everything. Now it's no longer my time and my desires. It's whose? It's his needs, his freedom. It's his money. It's his wants. It's his family. My marriage does not belong to me. It belongs to the kingdom of God. It doesn't belong to me. God put it there. He says, Wayne, this is what I want you to do. Now steward this. Steward it. I want you to be a part of this. You stay committed to it and you steward that. Yes, and I walk into it and little by little, my family changes from glory to glory. Every time I go my way, I leave a little bit of the spirit behind, I become fleshlier and fleshlier. And can you see how I'll start to sabotage my family? Because the reason we bite each other is not our spirit side, it's our flesh side. And if you're constantly biting each other, then it's telling us that we've got way too much flesh involved. And it's time I start to obey more. And it'll be a very subtle thing. How subtle? It'll be so subtle that it might just be the change of your mind on something. But if you'll be willing to give Christ everything you got, and he changes it and transforms you through obedience, then no longer will people see my plans, but they'll see his. My desires, they'll see his. Well, it's my money. No, it's his. Well, it's my goals. No, it's his. And you know what will happen? In the church, people will start to see not us, but they'll see the heart of Jesus all over the place. And then when they look at the church, they say, that's the heart of Jesus. And that's what he has designed for us. You say, well, Wayne, and what if you make a mistake, though? Because I've kind of gone the wrong way a few times. Uh-huh. So have I. What do we do? How do I get a pure heart back again? Real easy. Would you write in your notes? Here it is. Repentance produces a pure heart. Repentance. Now, repentance is not necessarily some big public apology on television. Repentance is just changing your mind. That's right. The word repentance comes from the Greek words metanoia or metanuos, which means meta is change, nuos is your mind. So, well, I'd like to give him a piece of my mind. I'd like to tell him what the truth is. The Lord says, ooh, 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 ooh. Is that the mind of Christ? No. Why don't you change your mind? Repentance can happen again and again quietly, just simply as you say, I'm not going to think that way. I'm going to start thinking this way. I'm not going to fight against God to get my way and tug of war with him. I'm just going to change my mind. I'm going to start thinking more like him. And repentance can happen every day, 5, 10, 15 times. And that's why Hudson Taylor would greet his friends every day. And he wouldn't say good afternoon. He'd shake your hand and say, have you repented yet today? Because he knew that a repenting man would be a healthy man. A repenting woman is a healthy woman. That we're changing our minds every day. I am repenting today. I am changing my mind about this, and I'm going to think this way. Instead of that, I'm not going to think of this affair that I'd like to have or this emotional thing that I'd like to just play with over here. You know, I'm just going to change my mind about that, and I'm going to go this way. Doesn't have to be a big deal. Just change your mind. Instead of dwelling on something you know you shouldn't dwell on for 5 minutes, just when you kind of catch yourself at 1 minute, just say, stop, I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to change the direction of the way I think and think obediently. And then you become less the mind of the flesh and more you put on the mind of Christ. And it makes our lives so much simpler. And that's why we find, would you read it, Acts 3:19? Go. Repent, therefore, and return, so that your sins may be wiped away and times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Now let me read it to you and watch my hand signals. Just watch this. Repent, therefore, and return, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You understand? Because his glory is there. And as I return, times of refreshing will come from what? A decision? No, from the presence of the Lord. Because he said, follow me. And I've chosen to do that. Love, obedience, and repentance. Three keys that the devil hates. But it'll bring simplicity and purity to our devotion. The devil will say to you, ooh, no, 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 just speak the truth. And if you, you know, God knows that if you take of that fruit, your eyes will be open. That's a lie. Let me tell you when your eyes are open. Matthew 5 says this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This way. See, the enemy is going to turn everything around and keep badgering you until you believe it. We need to say, I'm going to obey what God says. I'm going to love him with all my heart, my soul, my mind and strength. Yeah, but Wayne, I have a lot of other desires. Uh-huh, that's all right. How do I get them all into order? No, don't worry about it. Well, what do I do? Real easy. You've got a lot of desires, but make your greatest desire to follow Jesus. Make that your greatest desire, and it simplifies everything. Follow him. Love Jesus. Everything gets simpler. Obey him. It simplifies everything. And repent. Change your mind. It makes everything so simple because transformation is now taking place, and you'll be changed into another person. After a while, that has no appeal to you because you're different now. Now, let me finish with this. In a few weeks, we're going to have elections. And our country right now is in a deep need of the hand of God. How many of you believe that? Right now, the whole thing is, this is not a Christian nation. Oh, no. If you go back to the very inception of America with the Mayflower, when the Mayflower landed at Plymouth Rock, the whole desire of those people that founded this continent, founded this nation, it was for the freedom of worship. Not to worship idols, the freedom to worship whom? God. Then you look at the Declaration of Independence all the way back into the 1700s. Before they signed this Declaration of Independence from Great Britain, they sign it this way. And now, with firm reliance on divine providence, we pledge our lives and our honor and our families to this document, this Declaration of Independence. And they all signed because they trusted in God. And they brought their independence to what? To have the freedom to worship God. That we know that all men are created equal and had been given inalienable rights by their Creator of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Constantly, our forefathers would say, there is a Creator. We didn't come from under a rock. It wasn't just evolution. There is a Creator. We know that, and we're establishing this country based on that. But since then, we have pushed away from this. I want you to know that it's time to pray for our country. And I want us to vote wisely. Don't vote party lines anymore. Vote for those who know how to draw lines between right and wrong. It's not party lines. It could be different people in either party. But look for the candidates that it's not a party line, but those who can draw lines that are clean. Lines of demarcation between what's wise and unwise and what's going to bring disaster to our future and what's going to bring help. Understand that that's going to be critical. Why? God is calling us as a nation back to repentance. Now, if you take a look at the wars that we're fighting today, did you know it's on the same battlefields of those that were in the 700 B.C. and 500 B.C.? What are you talking about? When Israel was taken into captivity in 721 B.C., it was from a country called the Assyrians. They deported 10 tribes of Israel, never to be heard anymore. Eradicated the people of Israel. Now, Israel was given the assignment to be the pulpit for the world of the gospel. But because they began to expunge the name of God from everything, all their documents, and they began to worship false gods and started welcoming all these other gods and thought that was a cool thing. God sent prophet after prophet and warning after warning until that whole nation was in recession and then deportation, and another country owned them, the Assyrians. The capital of Assyria is Nineveh. Do you know where Nineveh is today? It's in Iraq. It's called Mosul, where many of our battles are being fought. And then 586 BC, Babylon came down, took the rest of Israel, eradicated them in the Babylonian captivity 586. Babylon is on the Tigris-Euphrates River. And right now, we know that up there in Iraq and Iran, we are fighting the same wars that was the wars that eradicated Israel. Same place, same capital, same people. Why? Because back in the 1700s, God gave a new nation the assignment to be a Christian nation and to perpetuate the gospel throughout the world. And God gave us the divine providence or protection. And it wouldn't be long before a fledgling nation would become the greatest nation in the world. We would send more missionaries and print more Bibles than ever before in history. But in the last 20 years or so, we've begun to expunge the name of God from all of our documents. And we've invited in idols. And we've caused that to be a free worship. And not only that, it was in Israel that their children were being offered to a god called Molech. They would sacrifice their kids to these gods. And God says that's an abomination. Have we done that? Oh, no, sure we have. Since Roe versus Wade, 50 million children have been aborted. 50 million. You know how many that is? That's like eradicating 15 states, wiping them off the map. How many more states will be eradicated, just like Israel? The very same thing's happening. And on September 11, 2001, that divine protection was breached. He moved his hand, and the Twin Towers were destroyed. They came onto our land. And now, since then, we've spent $1 trillion in the same place that Syria and Babylon was when they destroyed or eradicated Israel. Can you see a pattern? Prophet after prophet has come. So what do we want to do? Number one, please register to vote. And when you vote, don't vote party lines. Vote for those who know how to draw lines. And be wise. But the next thing is, God gives us a promise, and the promise is to the nation. But it's going to start with us. It's in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and it says this. If my people, right here, who are called by my name, right here, shall humble themselves and pray, and turn from their wicked ways, and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and here's the promise. If you'll do that, my people called by my name, I will what? Heal their land. Did you know that God says, I'll heal America if my people, it'll start here. Love, obedience, and repentance. That'll make your relationship with Jesus pure and simple. And by the way, the Lord says, I'll give you a promise. I'll heal your land. Even though there's going to be sinners out there and people messing up, if you will be a people of God and not lose your savor as a salt of the earth, I will honor that, and I'll heal your land. It comes back to us. Let's be a people of a pure and simple relationship with Jesus. And let's be a people of love, obedience, and repentance. And you'll find that walking with Jesus is pure and simple. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, thank you for a fabulous church called New Hope. We ask your blessings on every single one here. We ask that you would walk before us, Lord, and prepare the way. But Father, we pray for our country, that you will heal our land. So many people struggling financially. So many people struggling in so many different ways, and our young leaders are confused with the morals of the world, being touted as an option, an approved option. And it only brings greater confusion and greater disaster. Lord, I pray that we will be a people of love, obedience, and repentance. Change us into the bride of Christ that you want us to be. But it starts with us. And if it starts with us, we'll see our land healed. So do that, we pray. We love you dearly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you give them a clap offering? Say, Lord, thank you.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Jesus, Pure and Simple by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening.
For those of you in Eugene, we invite you to worship each Sunday at New Hope West
on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene. Pastor Wayne will share a message that will strengthen you in your walk as you launch into a brand new week. For directions or more information, go to newhopewest.com. Until next time, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.